Welcome to episode number 4, where we're interviewing James Burton from the UK OCR scene. Now, for me, I'm really excited to give you guys this episode because of how much I just love the OCR scene, which, by the way, for those who don't know about it, is the obstacle course racing scene. Now, in the UK, it's still very much seen as something you do a bit for fun, you sign up with a few mates and you have a laugh. However, there is definitely a group of some seriously dedicated people, both men and women, that are absolute athletes in this sport. If you've not heard of OCR, just imagine mixing in half marathons or actual marathons along with Ninja Warrior. That is the best way I can get you to visualize what OCR is. We delve into how James got into OCR, how he's done, spoiler alert, 120 races since 2013. We talk about the different federations out there, because if you do start to look into it, you will notice, you're like, oh, there are like different world championships and Spartan Race and Tough Mudder and etc, etc. And then we also start talking about how the blend of running and strength is incredibly important and which one you should probably focus on. If you are looking to do your first OCR, we also delve into how you've got certain things you might want to just consider. So that'll be coming later on in the episode as well. So make sure you keep your ears open for that. So guys, without further ado, enjoy this episode. As always, let me know via Forever Stronger Coaching's Instagram or just any sort of message what you think about this episode. And I would also love to hear how it helped you, and also, did this inspire you to do your first OCR? If so, please, please, please tag us, let us know, and hopefully see you at a race soon.
So, welcome to the podcast, man. I'm hella excited to have you on, especially with what's going on the OCR scene in the UK. Just tell us a little bit more about yourself, how you got into OCR. Fit us in.
Thank you, firstly, for inviting me on. Much appreciated. So, I guess my background, I first got into obstacle course race. Actually, I was based in the States. I was living out in Portland. Wow. I was working with Nike out there. Yeah, always very interested when I first started to see some of the obstacle races kind of springing up around 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, I'm sure many people have been similar. They kind of see it and they want to do it. And it's like, oh, I need to sign up. And as I was out in the States, I wasn't playing football as much. So when I was in the UK, I was playing football kind of weekly and training and stuff. So I'd never really kind of had the time. But out there, thought, why not? Got involved, and I did Rugged Maniac, which is a US OCR.
Okay.
And then Tough Mudder, Spartan Race, and Warrior Dash, so all like the classic US races. And yeah, as with most people, just instantly hooked. And I moved back to the US, so that was 2013. So I moved back to the UK the following year and did another 5 or 6 more races, you know, Total Warrior. Spartan in the UK, Tough Mudder in the UK, and it just kind of snowballed from there. So I think after that, it was like another 20 races the next year, then 25. So I think I've done about 120 OCR races now.
And, Jesus Christ. Over how many years?
So that's since 2013. So, and I started relatively slowly as well, like
four in
my first year, maybe 5 or 6 in my second year. So it's definitely snowballed. And in the last 2 or 3 years, I've taken it more seriously from a competitive perspective as well. Okay. I've always been competitive, but it was very much a kind of a turn up to race and see what happens kind of thing.
Yeah, see what happens kind of thing. Yeah, you're there on the course. It's just you and the course. Go from there.
But since then, been putting in the training, you know, training weekly and competing in the OCR World Championships that have been put on the last 6 years, the European Championships, and trying to compete in as most competitive races in the UK and in Europe, really. So yeah, it's become I wouldn't say minor, quite a major addiction, but I do love it. It's a great sport and keeps you fit and healthy, and it's a great community as well.
Yeah, I think the community aspect of it is really interesting, because you're on your own on the course, realistically, right? You're on your own. But then the amount of people, I would say it's like a collective through suffering almost.
Yeah.
Because you look at someone and you know they're fucked with that sandbag. And you know that hill is battering them. You look at them, and you've just about got air in you. You can kind of just about go, just keep going. And that'll be enough sometimes to just keep you pushing through, or you're fucked with the what else is there? I'm trying to think. The jerry can carries in Spartan race recently.
Yeah.
That was horrendous. I was like, my traps and forearms. I was like, thought I was strong. And I was just like, this has just ruined me. And all you've got is someone just going, on your left, well done. And I'm like, thank you. I needed to hear that. Like, just as you're half broken in it.
Collective suffering's a good description, actually. I think it does bring everyone together, and you've got those shared stories that you share with each other.
Yeah, because you know what they're about to go through, or you know what they are going through, because you're there yourself, but you've got to crack on with it.
Yeah.
What kind of made you, I mean, I guess if you're working with Nike, what made you suddenly go from just running to, well, OCR? It's not the most normal thing that most people get into. Well, back then anyway.
Yeah, for me, so to be honest, I wasn't doing a lot of running either. I was working with Nike. Was interested in the running side, but I was working with them more on football. But I think for me, I've done runs. I did like the London Marathon when I was 18, and I've done that great North run. Again, it was very much kind of did a little bit of training, but it wasn't, I didn't really take it seriously. Like,
yeah.
So just kind of struggled and forced my way through. But I think the reason why running road races, I found it a little bit boring, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that monotony of being on a road.
And yeah.
Where I think I loved obstacle racing was two parts. One was the trail running aspect of it. I love being out in nature as much as possible. And then the second part was just the breakup with the obstacles and the challenge of trying to overcome the obstacles. And I think from a personal perspective, I've always been like good from a cardio point of view, but really from an upper body, I'm still pretty lean now, but upper body when before I started obstacle racing was non-existent basically. So that's something I've really had to build, and I've enjoyed increasing my strength and learning technique on obstacles as well.
Actually that's a really good point, is I don't think a lot of people realize, like, stuff like I love the European champs, I hate but love it, because they're technical. Like, I'm strong, but then like you've got freaking candlesticks into monkey bars into something else, and you're like, I've got to think about this, because I will gas out within like the first four holds.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because people think you can muscle your way through it. And I'm like, that's the last thing you want to do, otherwise you're going to burn out. What kind of advice would you give to someone who's looking at that kind of stuff and goes, where the hell do I start?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The European Championships is very, very technical. And I think, like you say, if you're just forcing your way through from a muscle kind of strength perspective, you will burn out and your endurance will go. I think that's what I've learned from those races, that grip strength is one part and you need to have good grip strength and good kind of overall strength, but your endurance needs to be strong as well. And you also need to save yourself. So from a technique perspective, if you can get through an obstacle as quickly as possible with as little muscle strength used as possible and grip strength used as possible, you're saving yourself for future obstacles. I found at last year's European Championship, I was in first place in my age group with three obstacles to go, and then my grip just went, and it was that obstacle. I jump into the flying monkeys and my hands just wouldn't climb onto the bar, and it took me like half an hour, so I think I ended up coming 14th in the end. I think it's the more you can work on your grip, which is practice and fatiguing and doing little drills to just keep improving the endurance in addition to the grip strength, I think the better you end up being in those kind of races.
I swear at Euros it was raining that day as well. Was it the 3k or the 15k?
It was the short course. It was raining. It was glorious sunshine when I was racing the 15k.
Okay.
It was actually almost a bit too hot, actually. It was great course and great terrain as well. It was pretty perfect.
I definitely like Poland for sure. Hopefully should be coming back to Italy. So
stuff.
Dolomites will be very, very interesting.
Yeah, so they're going to be a different course altogether with the hills as well. And
precisely. I think that's why a lot of people don't realize at OCR as well, is people just think like a mud run or a tough mudder. And it's like, actually, when you really get into nitty gritty OCRs, this is what I like about Spartan. I don't know about you, but it's that they ruin you with terrain more than anything, because you know what obstacles are coming until they redo the course. And you're like, why is this hill here and this hill there and that downhill bit here? Why have I got a slate mountain here? Like, it's so much more than just running, right?
That's the amazing, another amazing thing about obstacle course racing is that you've got different brands that offer something different. So you say Spartan, they've got consistent obstacles, but they mix things up. They have different terrain. It's really competitive, so that provides a different challenge. Then you have the classic obstacle course races. I'm doing my first Wolf Run in the beginning of April, which is like a traditional, like muddy obstacle course race.
Yeah.
Then you've got nuclear races, which are kind of a bit of a blend of a kind of old school OCR, and it also has some technical obstacles as well, and it has kind of fear obstacles in terms of the death slide and and then you go into Europe and you have like technical races like toughest and OCR series. So that's why I love the variety. You can pick a race and it'll be a completely different experience from the last obstacles race.
Yeah. What would you recommend for anyone listening and they're just getting into OCR? What would you recommend they do for their first one ever? If they're completely new to the game.
I would say there's probably a few options. I think probably I would recommend doing it in the summer, because I think one of the things, if you've not done an obstacle course race, maybe doing it in the winter as your first one kind of put you off.
Kind of brutal. Yeah.
Kind of a, you know, love the cold and that's the kind of challenge you're going for. But nuclear race is a fantastic race. There's nuts challenge. Summer nuts is great. Spartan, as I say, love Spartan race. You've got Tough Mudder, which is like a team-based race. So there's something for everyone, really.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to Wolf Run to see what that's all about in April.
Yeah. What would you say about actually? So I just read the news that Tough Mudder has gone bankrupt, and they've actually gone and sold a bunch of their. Are in talks about selling a bunch of their venues to Spartan. I guess that's a side of OCR we don't see, is that a lot of these places, you know, will be like, I think there was one called The Suffering, and that went really well for a little bit, and then that just went. And then there was one I heard of called Amphibian, which just disappeared and took a bunch of people's money. I guess, what would you say for people that are looking at all these OCRs? Would you say, like, look for an established one? Or would you say go support the smaller ones? And what advice would you give out to people that hear this kind of news and get put off by, like, I don't want to put my money there?
It's a really tricky question, because one of the reasons that the races such as The Suffering, which I've done, which was a fantastic race, it really truly was The Suffering. one of the reasons why it folded was because it didn't get the sign-ups that it needed.
Yeah.
So I think that's important, that you kind of put in money into the smaller races. But then the problem also then is, you know, there's an element of risk if it's a new race, and that's what happened with Amphibian Run. People put money in and backed it, didn't even have their first race. So I think we'll probably talk about it later, but UK OSF, the governing body for obstacle course racing, which is new and only been around about 6 months now, that's kind of one of the things that we love to support, to kind of help give people confidence when a new race comes on the scene. But I think there's obviously established races that, like Nuclear Races has been going 8 years, Spartan Race, it's been going a number of years. But then you do see the things like Tough Mudder, which is worrying, which is a huge company.
Yeah.
You never thought that would
come. No. No, I never thought. I was just, because they sell out so many events per year. I'm not gonna lie, they are expensive as hell for an OCR. Very, and they've only just started introducing like competitive waves. And I've often found it's just too rammed in a Tough Mudder, which is I fractured my ankle in Tough Mudder,
and
the medics were just like, "Oh, you can walk, go home." And I was like, went home. I was like, "My ankle's the size of my chest. Like, maybe let's get this checked out." And like, "Yeah, you've got a fracture." I was like, Jesus. So for me, just the overcrowdedness of that put me off. Was what really attracted me to something like Spartan was, I thought it was better wave times, thought there were better obstacles. It was a really good way of actually making you push yourself, and people there wanted to push themselves, like with the whole 30 burpee penalty. No one wants to do 30 burpees, try the obstacle.
Yeah.
And then stuff like nuclear, which is just really fun.
Yeah.
Like, just so much, hated it, but like Ebenezer, ugh. No, thank you. I was like, I'm sinking, but just so much fun. So I guess that kind of does cater into, like, there's so much out there for people, depending on what they want.
Spartan is definitely the competitive UK kind of obstacle course. So if you're there for competitive, like, challenge, I think you want to go for something like Spartan Race. Nuclear is probably in the middle where you've got competitive waves, like Challenge Cup is a really competitive race, end of the season. And then, as you say, Tough Mudder is more catering for the, they do have a competitive element, but it's more of a fun kind of team-based obstacle
course. Yeah. Go for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it. Enjoy 12 miles out there.
That's it. And they've got Europe's Toughest Mudder, which I've done a couple of times, which is through the night. And that's a lot of fun as well. And that's a real...
That's like, what's it, 24 hours and just keep going?
There is a 24-hour one in the States, but when I did it, it was 8 hours through the night, and I think it's 12 hours now. So, yeah, you start at midnight and through till morning, try and do as many laps as you can. And that's where you really get the camaraderie, because everyone's putting each other through, and you've got, I think John Alban, who won it the first year when I did it, he was kind of helping people, and it's a very different atmosphere. It's really nice.
Yeah, let's talk about this this new federation then, because I know that OCR, well, UK OCR has been about before. It's not like it's a new organization. I've seen, like, there was a Team UK, but I didn't quite know what was going on there when I first entered. But this kind of sounds like it's got a lot more structure to it, like there's an actual purpose rather than just bring people together in the UK. So what would you say is, like, the new goal of this federation, and how does it differ from what's been about before?
Yeah, so I think there's probably a couple of things to clarify. One is Team UK is essentially a community group, which many people would have seen on Facebook, which is a way of organizing and helping people who have qualified for international events. So you've got the obstacle course World Championship, you've got European Championship, which are run by the Federation. You've got the FISO obstacle course World Championship this year, run by the Federations. Spartan World Championships and various different like races via Spartan, World Toughest Mudder. So there's a few guys, Tom Nash, Claire Rosser, Stuart Neal and Paul Brenton, that basically run this community group, which just people go on and ask questions around qualification and travel and all those kind of things. So that's the team group, very much a community kind of emphasis. And then UK OSF is a governing body for obstacle sports, which ladders up to World OCR, which is FISO. So it's the essentially the World Federation for Obstacle Course Racing. So the main goals, I guess, of UK OSF are to bring structure to the sport of obstacle course racing in some shape or form. That's not to mean everything becomes the same, because that's what's amazing about OCR, but just to consider safety, help kind of some of these small races develop within OCR, bring new athletes into the sport. And ultimately, one of the reasons I've got involved, because I feel that OCR should be recognized as a sport. It's a fantastic activity. It keeps everyone healthy. It's a real great community. At the moment, it's not considered a sport in any shape or form in the UK. It is in other parts of the world, but in the UK, it's, I don't know how you would classify it, but it needs to go through first various steps to become a sport. One of those actually is you have to have a federation for a minimum of 2 years before you can even apply to be a sport. So we're, I think, six months in. And then you have to minimum number of members, you have to have done certain things and criteria. So so I think it is a way of bringing structure and organization to the sport at a kind of a top level, and ultimately just to help and grow the activity of obstacle course racing in the UK.
I think that is also really important, because there's an amazing community around it, and you've got so many people that are involved, but it's all kind of like everyone's in their own camp rather than everyone kind of coming together. Like, it'd be great to see like an OCR UK meetup or something where everyone kind of like just network and meet each other and see who's who, and then start, like, for me, as same the way I reached out to you was just through Andrew from Team Madness.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wicked, like, I want to meet more people in the scene and see what people are up to and what their journey is. And like, the more you can do that, the bigger the community gets, the tighter everything gets, the easier it is to spread the word. Like, we're doing this podcast now just because of that.
Yeah.
Which means that hopefully more people will hear about it and be like, oh, so that's what this is all about. And that's what, it's not just a fun run through the mud where you swing across monkey bars. Like,
I think I did the Southern Cross Country Champs at the weekend, And if some of the runners worked on their upper body strength and got into obstacle course racing, wow, great British athletes representing us. I think there's lots of great potential athletes out there. And as you say, I think people do tend to kind of see the tough mudder, which is great fun, but they see it as a kind of a one-off, not a kind of competitive element where you can kind of raise, potentially compete for your country and prize money at a real top level. So you know, it's a fantastic opportunity for some of these kind of really good running athletes or ninja athletes potentially getting into OCR.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
General level, just people, more people into the sport. It's a great activity all around to be fit and healthy.
Yeah, I find once some of these runners start coming through into OCR, I think that's going to, Jesus, that's going to like make everyone level the hell up, because I personally would say from what I've seen is most people come from the whole like kind of weekend warrior sort of thing. You get into it for the fun of it, you realize you're pretty good at it, and then you start to train for it a little more seriously. That's personally what I was like. I got into it because I was like, it's a new challenge, it's something extra. I was like, I can do pull-ups with like 20, 30 kilos, but I can't freaking swing across rings. I'm like, what is the point of that? Like, it took me away from bodybuilding to be like, what can you do with a human body? I want to be able to run and jump over a ditch and like climb over this and run over that. Or like the world champs just last year, I remember I gunned it out my wave. I was like keeping up with the first five people, look at my watch, and I was like, whoa, 3 minute 50 kilometer, like it's a bit bonkers. I was like getting gassed within a minute. And then the ditches came through and I was like, I'm dead. And these guys are like jumping over like horses. And I was like, well done, guys. I'm just going to support in the background and like maybe climb down through this, get my breath back. Yeah, don't worry, I'll take it easy on you lot. It's like, Jesus, like the kind of power you're putting through alongside that, it's not easy to then get to an obstacle. You're gassed.
Yeah.
So you then got to somehow reclaim that breath and energy, swing yourself up across something or something technical, come back down, regain more energy, go again. Like it's a massive hybrid that people just don't realize.
Yeah, it really tests everything, doesn't it? It's testing all elements of kind of human capability in that sense. And I love it when you've kind of come off a balance obstacle, then you're carrying something, then you're swinging across something, then you're running through ditches and you're swimming. It's just everything you can think of. And that, I guess, that's why I've kind of grown and love it as well, because every time I've done a different race, there's something I've learned from it. Like, it took me, almost embarrassed to say now, but it took me about 2 years to figure out the rope climb when I first started. Didn't have the upper body strength, I didn't know the technique, and then one day you just, oh, that's how you climb a rope, and it's just so like
so satisfying.
It's so satisfying. But I think it's things like that now I'm really trying to work on, like we talked about, my endurance, grip endurance. So I'm doing weekly classes with Dion Trigger. He's got a True Function Ninja gym in Swindon. So I'm trying to train with ninjas, because I'm feeling my kind of thought process, if I could be as good as a ninja, then everything in OCR.
Yeah, I can see you got callus in your hand right there. Yeah, I can see you've like torn off a bit of your skin.
Yes, yeah. That was actually from Wild Forest and Nuclear. But no way. I think so that's the thought process. But I think, again, like some of the Ninja Warrior athletes there, they're incredible. It's like so amazing to see that. Keeps you humble, I think, in OCR. I think we've got a lot of great racers, but I think there's the potential for many. As the sport grows, I think it's going to have the influence of other athletes. Yeah. And I think you see that in Europe to a certain extent. You get a lot of triathletes that are coming into the sport now. I don't think it's got that recognition in the UK yet. Or triathletes to see it as a kind of a legitimate
sport, actually competing.
Yeah.
So would you say that with the whole upper body strength element of things and running, which one right now do you think has the better carryover? Running or the upper body work?
My view is it's harder, or it takes longer to become a faster runner. So I think they're almost equally as important, especially on mandatory obstacle races where you can't run a penalty loop. But you can build up the upper body strength quicker than you can build up the speed over running, if that makes sense. So I think people that come in from a running background, if they're up for training their upper body, they could become good obstacle racers quicker than, say, like someone who's like really strong and fit in the gym but doesn't do a lot of cardio and hasn't done a lot of cardio in the past. It's not to say it can't happen and they won't. You know, there's people that will, especially over short courses, be fantastic. But I think it takes a long time to build up the aerobic kind of capability, and a lot of volume, which may take 2 or 3 years to get to a point where you, got that speed. But certainly with the top athletes.
Yeah. What would you say? Because obviously right now I just realized like we're talking about upper body strength and running and this, that, and like, you know, you're going for the grind and picking up heavy stuff. What I also realized that when I was on these races is there's a really good mix of genders in terms of like both male and female, especially at Spine. Jesus Christ. As an Andorra dying, being told to move out of the way by the elite females. And I was like, I'm going to get the hell out of your way because you are on fire over here. Like just, oh my, and then the European champ, there were so many guys failing certain grip obstacles. One lady just rocked up, shrugged off her shoulders, wiped down her hands a little bit, and then just the sketch done, easy. Yeah. And we're just like, what? So what would you say to anyone, actually any women listening to this, thinking, oh no, I couldn't do that, upper body strength is going to take me too long, blah, blah, blah. Like, what would you say, what advice would you give them? And who would you tell them to go and check out athlete-wise? For a bit of inspiration.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think it obviously will take, there's more work for females coming into the sport in terms of to build up that strength. I think males naturally have more like overall strength, but as you rightly say, that's not to say that you can't become stronger as a female athlete, and there's so many incredible female athletes out there. So I think I would say coming into it, if you've not done much upper body, do work on kind of progression of things like pull-ups, press-ups. I think my team Nuclear Phoenix, we run a pull-up challenge, and we've seen people going from being able to do zero pull-ups at the start of the month to be able to do full kind of strict pull-ups by the end of the month. So it just takes time and patience. Sometimes it might take longer. And then in terms of female athletes, I think there's some incredible girls in the UK. There's Becky Rendell and Nikki Johnson from Nuclear Phoenix. There's Natasha Mansell, who runs for Monster Machines. Kate Stilwell, Team X. I'm sure there's plenty others. Laura Haywood, incredibly strong athlete. And there's plenty more. Jade Skillen. You see these races and so strong, fast. It's always great to see. And then
inspirational,
very inspirational. And further afield, you've got Lindsay Webster, Nicole Miracle in the US. Trying to think in Europe, but yeah, you start to follow some of these girls, and then you can really see the kind of strength and the again the running capability that they have as well. Definitely inspiring to see.
Unfortunately, we had to cut the podcast short as my headphones ran out of battery. And suddenly there's just way too much background noise. So part two will be delving deeper into what FISO stands for and what it's going to mean for the OCR community going forwards. So guys, have an awesome day. Thank you for tuning in. Catch you in the next episode.